Good morning, church. I love that song. Isn't that a powerful song? Man, the lyrics are just so powerful, and as they were true for them, they sound so true for today as well. Amen. We need to be bold. The lyrics come out of Acts chapter 4, and as we're studying out the book of Acts, and our theme is Acts of Faith, today we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 4. You know, last Sunday, wasn't it such a phenomenal service at the Expo Center together? What an amazing job Sam Powell did in the worship, and just such an inspiring service together. Last Sunday was the first service that Chelsea and I got to have our new baby Tyler at church with us, and they're here again today. So life is crazy in the Novak house. We've got two babies under 18 months old. So we have our 17-month-old Bradley, and then our six-week-old Tyler. And things are getting crazy. I think, you know, it's funny because you've got things you need to grow in. And so getting married, it exposed, okay, I need to grow in my patience. And then I'm like, all right, I'm better now. And then you have your first child, and it's just, here's a whole new realm of patience you've got to work on. And then the second baby comes, and now it's just, everything's off the hook now. God is saying, Rob, you get a lot of good stuff you can grow in here. You know, one of the craziest parts is trying to put them to bed when they don't want to, or they're overtired, or you're overtired, and they just don't want to fall asleep. You guys with me on that? You know, that tries my patience so bad. I remember Bradley being a newborn, and he just would not go to sleep. And it was like I was going into battle, going into the room, like, all right, I had to make sure I was wearing lightweighted clothes, otherwise I'd find myself working up a sweat, just spending like half an hour bouncing him, trying to get him to fall asleep. And I remember one night just really feeling impatient and frustrated, and he's just crying and whining and not falling asleep, and it was really late. I'd gotten up and I put my glasses on, so I had to take my contacts off already and stuff, and he's crying and whining, and I'm just trying to get him to sleep, already just taking everything in me to keep myself cool, you know? And then he reaches his hands up, and his hands just dug under my glasses and whipped them to the ground. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know? And that, honestly, I think it pushed me to a new place of resilience. I was like, oh, you are going to sleep. I was not going to give up at that point. Put my glasses back on, and he fell asleep a little while afterwards. You know, I will say that because of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because it's taken all three, with having babies, what could have driven my patience to a breaking point has instead helped my patience to grow stronger. Amen? With God, what could break us could actually make us stronger instead. And the title of my lesson this morning is A Resilient Faith. That we can have a resilient faith. We need a faith that no matter what hits it takes, it will always bounce back stronger. Not just hang in there, but bounce back stronger. Proverbs 24:16 says, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. Your faith may bend, but it will never break if it is resilient. We need a resilient faith to make it from baptism to heaven and to see God do victories through us along the way in between. What is resilience? Resilience is able to withstand or recover quickly from difficult conditions. Able to recoil or spring back into shape after bending, stretching, or being compressed. Resilience is endurance, perseverance, vitality, fortitude, steadfastness, toughness. That's resilience. Do you want these to describe your faith? Do you want that to describe your discipleship? That you had a resilient faith. You were a resilient disciple. You know, no matter what any of us have been through, we can bounce back stronger and finish the race with victories in our wake if we live with a resilient faith. So this morning I ask, what areas of your faith do you need some resilience in right now? What areas of your discipleship do you need to bounce and spring back into life once again? And we can imitate the resilience of the faith in the early disciples. So please go to Acts chapter 4. And I'm just going to preach through this chapter as we read it. Russ did a great job a couple weeks ago preaching on prayer from this chapter. And we're going to go back to verse 1 and comb through this together. Acts chapter 4. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You know, Acts chapter 1, Jesus leaves, commissions the church, and then they wait for the Spirit to come. In Acts 2, the Spirit comes and the church begins with over 3,000 people being saved. That's a huge victory for the beginning of the church. And then the end of 2 talks about how they're unified, and then Acts chapter 3 starts. And there's this crippled man begging who is healed by Jesus through Peter and John. And as he's healed and they impact him, crowds gather. And they're able to preach to these crowds and speak to them as well. However, among the crowd were some social and religious leaders who did not like what was happening. And here in Acts 4, for the first time of what would become many, the church begins to face some persecution. The persecution begins. And really, the way that the church handles this persecution will make or break the future of the church, because it only gets harder from there. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, looking at how we can have a resilient faith like them. It says, "The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead." Just pause for a second. The Sadducees were a group of religious leaders who did not believe in some of the spiritual realm aspects of the Old Testament, of Christianity, like resurrection and afterlife, angels, demons, things like that. And so they hear preaching about a new life, a resurrected life, and they're against that. And they're also especially against it because the Sadducees worked hand in hand with the Romans. And they saw that in Jesus, this new king could be a threat to their way of life and to the Roman government. So they don't like what they're hearing. So in verse 3, it says, "They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day." We'll keep going in a second, but you know what's really powerful to step back and think about here is that the disciples are looking eye to eye some priests, some temple guards, that were very likely the same people that Jesus himself had been arrested by. This is only a few weeks after Jesus himself was arrested and crucified. But they lived in a very close, step-by-step world to Jesus' life and his world. It was evening, just like it was for Jesus, and they were thrown in a jail cell overnight. This very well, in Jerusalem, could have been the same hallway of jail cells or the same jail, possibly, that Jesus himself was thrown in. And so you've got to believe that a lot of the resilience in these early disciples came from putting their feet into Jesus' footsteps as closely as they could. And although we're 2,000 years removed, we have the Bible to help us do the same as well. That we need to let the Word be living and active, that we really put ourselves in Jesus' feet so we could turn around and put Jesus in our feet today as well and have a resilient faith like they did. In verse 4 it says, "Many..." This is what's exciting. They're thrown into jail, and then it goes, "But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. You know, we're going to go through Acts chapter 4 here, and I just want to point out a handful of qualities and characteristics of having a resilient faith. Does that sound good? So here's a handful of qualities, characteristics of a resilient faith. The first one, a resilient faith has faith when it's good and when it's bad. A resilient faith is a faith that's there when things are looking good and when things are not looking so good. That's what's going on here. Peter and John heal a crippled man. That's a victory. A crowd gathers and they preach to them. Another victory. They must be feeling pretty inspired at what's going on at this point. And then the priests, the head security guard, and the Sadducees came, seize them, and throw them in jail. Within minutes, they go from healing someone and having a crowd gathered, incredibly excited, to sitting in a jail cell together behind bars. Meanwhile, outside, maybe they know, maybe they don't, tons of people from this crowd decide to become disciples, and it grows from 3 to over 5,000 from Acts 2. I think what we could see here is that in the Christian life, or just in this world in general, ups and downs can come back to back pretty quickly. You know, this could happen for us, right? You'll have an amazing quiet time, and then you'll go to class or you'll go to work and get completely stressed out and overwhelmed. Up to a down. You'll come to church or midweek or time with some fellowship, and you'll get inspired and, all right, I'm going to go do it. And then you get home and you get hit with some bad news. And your faith takes a hit and spikes down. The ups and the downs can come very quickly, but if we have a resilient faith, it's got to stay straight through them both. You know, the truth is that victories and hardships are likely often going to come hand in hand. You're not going to get one without the other, usually. To have a resilient faith, we have to take one with the other. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Acts 14:22, Paul says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Ups with the downs. You know, life in this fallen world brings trouble on its own. And then as a disciple, the challenges won't go away. They might even increase for us. So to have a resilient faith, we have to live with great expectations like Sam preached about. Great expectations for victory, but also being prepared and deeply rooted so that we can embrace the hard times when they come as well. You know, your faith can't just be about when things are happy, but steadfast even when things are hard. And then if we persevere, we not only make it through to the other side, but we have the opportunity to grow, to learn from the hardship, and then to see God turn that hardship into a victory instead of a defeat. And so as we reflect on that, I would encourage you to reflect. Do you keep a spiritual perspective and persevere during hard times? Or do you let your faith shift with the circumstances? And practically, specifically, is there something right now in your life you could think about? In your family, at work, or in a relationship? Is there something right now that is tough and it's weakening your faith that you need to turn around and let that be an opportunity to grow in your faith instead? And to grow in your Christianity instead? This is how we need to look at things with a resilient faith. Peter and John were locked up, but their faith was not locked up. Now, we can't be stopped or locked up by hardship, but instead see the victories that God can bring about through it and then grow stronger through it, bounce back stronger through it. And we know that with God, miracles can always happen even, and maybe even especially when things are hard. That's a resilient faith. Secondly, a resilient faith is faith when things aren't fair. If you have resilient faith, you're still faithful even when things are not fair. Look at verses 5 to 10 with me. It says, the next day the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. But what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Now what can be so hard about challenges in life is that they don't have to make sense. You know, challenges, hardship, it could be like life is just pranking you. It's like, life, are you kidding me right now? Are you playing a prank on me? You know, I think sometimes that's what we even love about. Do any of you like watching prank videos? I love watching pranks. You know, pranks, it's like it justifies coolness and makes it okay somehow. Maybe it doesn't. It's all but what side of it you're on, right? You know, I think we love pranks because they catch people off guard. You know, I'll confess some terrible things I've done under the umbrella of pranking. It, you know, you go back to your teenage years and you could be pretty cool under the threshold of, well, it's just a prank. You know, I remember being at the Land of Make-Believe out in Hope, New Jersey, where I grew up. And I was probably like 13 or so, 12, I don't know. The younger I am, the better it makes me seem, I guess. So I was somewhere in my early teen years and they had this new water park thing and there was this grate on the ground. And when you pulled this lever that was like 10 feet away, water just blasted up out of it. And so I remember me and my friend, you know, told this like 8-9-year-old kid that there was a frog in there. And then he went to look in, and as soon as he looked, we just cranked the lever. This is terrible. But it blasted him in the face. not painfully, just enough to startle him, you know. We're like, did you see it? And he had no idea that the lever was causing this. And so, you know, I hope I was 12 or 13. And so we thought this is hilarious. Really, it's quite cruel. This was not fair to him at all. He did not understand, A, there was no frog, B, they're doing this. And so he ended up walking away after two or three times. And so, too bad there was, at least if there was a frog in there, it could have had some joy in singing or something. You know, but what we love about pranks sometimes is what we hate about difficulties in life. Is they're not fair and they don't have to make sense. Hardship doesn't have to make sense. You know, that's what I see when I read this verse where it says, look, if you're calling us to account because of an act of kindness showed to a cripple that was healed, then know that. You know, it's just like, look, we healed a crippled guy, and now you're wanting to throw us in jail about this. You know, things don't have to be deserved. They don't have to make sense to go through a hardship. You know, throwing them in jail was not fair, but it's just part of living in a fallen world. So even when life doesn't play fair, we have to play it faithfully. Trust God. Persevere. Be resilient. We're in a spiritual battle in a fallen world that is not playing fair. But we still need to play faithfully. Amen? And we can know that one day, definitely on the last day, God will see justice done. And whether life was fair to you or not, you want to make sure you were faithful to Him, so on that day He will be faithful to you. And so with the resilient faith, you need to reflect on how you do with responding even when things don't make sense. You know, do you get lost in trying to make sense of a challenge or understanding if it's fair or not, or just face it faithfully? How easy is it to shake you from doing what's right? Does it take just not being fair, not making sense, or are you faithful to God no matter what? We've got to stand firm in following Jesus no matter what the circumstances. Fair or not, deserved or not, we could trust Him and we could be surrendered to Him if we have a resilient faith. Thirdly, a resilient faith is a faith built on Jesus' power. You with me? A resilient faith has to be built on Jesus' power. You know what I love here is that it says the rulers talk, right? And they question them. The rulers talk, they question. And then it says Peter spoke and he speaks differently. It says he speaks filled with the Holy Spirit. So whose voice packed more power? The worldly authorities or Peter's? The one with the Holy Spirit. The fishermen's or the rulers? You know, they had the worldly power, but Peter had the godly power. He was resilient. He was courageous here, steadfast, strong, because he didn't live by his own strength. He lived by God's strength. And so we can be resilient, strong, courageous, bold, no matter who or what is against us, because we too have the Spirit of God living in us as well. And we know that the one who is with us is greater than the one who is with them. You know, we could see the strength of their foundation in verse 11, their response. He says, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found nowhere else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Now we say, look, Jesus is the cornerstone. He's what our life, what our faith is built on, and yours isn't. You know, when constructing a building from stones back then, they would go through tons of stones looking for ones that looked like good rectangles and sturdy to build with. Many stones would get rejected. The cornerstone was the first stone that would be laid down, and it was the most perfect, large, rectangular stone that they could find. And then all the rest of the building was built around that one, and it affected and laid the sturdiness of the whole rest of the building. And Peter and John are resilient because they're saying their cornerstone is Jesus, the cornerstone that they had rejected. Jesus was a rock that they deemed not even worth using in their lives, and yet it was the one that our whole life should be built around to begin with. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that as a disciple, you've decided to make your cornerstone in life the most sturdy, strong, unbreakable, immortal, eternal cornerstone foundation that you possibly could. You've laid, as an expert builder, the foundation of your life. And I want to encourage you, no matter how long you're a Christian, to keep letting Jesus be your rock. Keep letting him be your fortress, be your shield, be your strength. Let Jesus be your foundation. If you make anything else besides Jesus your cornerstone, when life hits, you'll crumble. But if Jesus is your foundation, you could stay standing strong through anything. Is Jesus still your life centerpiece? Is there anything trying to nudge and wedge in there in between? You've got to get rid of that and make Jesus the center point of your life. There is no replacement for Jesus. And your faith won't be resilient if it's built on anything else. But if your faith is built on Jesus' power and who he is and the cross, then your faith can withstand any hits. Amen? A resilient faith is a faith that makes us bold and obedient to God. When you believe Jesus is with you, when Jesus is your cornerstone, and when you're living by his power, you can live boldly and you will obey him in your life. In verse 13 it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. It says they noticed the courage of Peter and John. You know, Peter and John were courageous in a way that was impossible for them to ignore, in a situation most people probably would have been cowarding in. You know, they were not ashamed of what they believed, who they represented, and they did not hesitate to publicly give Jesus credit for what they had done. They were courageous because not only had they spent time with Jesus, but they believed that Jesus was actually still with them in that moment like he had promised. I will be with you always. So despite being ordinary, with no worldly authority, they were bold because they believed that one who had all authority and on heaven and earth was with them in that moment. And so for us to have resilient faith, when we face opposition, we need to remember the power of Jesus that is actually with us, present, living in us. That we have all the authority with God living with us and in us, and that can help us to stand firm and to believe that a victory could come out of a hardship instead. Because Jesus is greater than whatever we're facing. And so instead of cowering, we could be bold. We could be courageous. And instead of just trying to survive in a situation, we can aim to thrive through a tough situation. You know what? I'm not going to be beaten up by this. I'm going to bounce back stronger, come out of this courageous, bold, and see a victory for God here. You could turn any situation into an opportunity to glorify God if you believe Jesus is with you. What's so amazing about the Bible is that we see that if anybody, any man, any woman, could be a courageous man or woman of God, no matter your prestige or knowledge or authority or background or wealth or credibility, if you believe Jesus is with you, you could be an impactful, courageous man or woman of God. Because it's all about Jesus' power that's with you. And so we can turn some heads and we can make people take note of our own lives like they did. We really believe that Jesus is with us, and just as everyday people, let Jesus live through us. Amen? Amen. Verse 14 says, but since they could see the man who was healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Isn't that so inspiring?
Yeah.
Just a resilient faith there. You know, if we want to grow through hardship, then we've got to be like them, where we just obey God no matter what. And then we see that when we obey God, even in the face of oppression or aversion, that he backs us up and we can become stronger than the situation we're facing. Who had the upper hand here? The disciples did. They were the ones in the seat of power because they made Jesus their source of power. They were thrown in jail, facing a very real threat of death and being commanded by the highest religious and high political establishment, stop talking about Jesus. And yet they were devoted to obeying God instead. That is inspiring. Now I think we can allow much less than that to stop us from obeying God and speaking about Him. You know, it's not often that we have somebody in a high political authority commanding us to stop talking about Jesus. We talk ourselves out of it. Their boldness and obedience is so incredible here. They had such a resilient faith. They were so grateful to be saved. They were so in touch with God's presence and power in this situation that it didn't matter if even someone in a high political or religious authority was commanding them to stop. They couldn't stop because Jesus had said, go make disciples and I will be with you always. And they obeyed that more than they obeyed anybody else. And so we need to ask ourselves, how is our level of obedience to Jesus compared to anybody else? Who are we really obeying? And that includes our own voice. You know, how small of an aversion do you allow to keep you from sharing your faith compared to what they didn't let stop them? You know, if there's someone that you've been thinking, I need to share about God with them, I've got to talk to, ask them to study the Bible, and you've just been giving in to fear, but you need to realize God's with you, the one's with you is greater than the one who's with them, and then find the courage and boldness to finally share your faith with that person. Do it this week. Find the courage, find the power in God, and do it this week. Let's be people who God knows are fully committed to obeying Him and to being bold for Him no matter what. Amen? A resilient faith is a faith that we have together. You can't have resilient faith on your own. We need to help each other to have it. I stayed faithful during that right there. It wouldn't blow too far away. In verse 21, it says, after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Can you imagine how good it felt for Peter and John to get back with the other disciples after this? A, to be together through it to begin with, and then to get back into the home with the other disciples and to be there together. Now, I think it's so important for us to have a resilient faith. We've got to have our own people in the church that are there with us through everything. It says they went back, after they were with all those people, they went back to their own people. And that's how meeting together should feel, midweek should feel, devotionals or Bible talks, Sunday service. It's like, I'm back with my own people after being out there facing hardship and living courageously for God. You know, these guys didn't view one another as, oh, these are the people from church. These are some friends from church. These are my people. These were their own people. These are their best friends, their partners in life, their family. And that's what we need to have. That's what we need to be to each other. We have to appreciate the people that God has led us to be part of. And that way, when we face things, we help each other be resilient. We help each other bounce back stronger. I know it helps me so much bounce back from hardship to connect with disciple relationships I have in my life. You know, Chelsea and I, we go through tough times. There's people God has put in our life to be a family to us and to help us make it through difficult times. Whether it's advice or right now just somebody coming over and babysitting and helping us with food. And so many of you have served us in that way. And it feels so good to have our own people to help us through a tough time. And we all need to have that. You know, a sister that has been such an incredible member of our family is Desiree Holloway in the campus ministry. You know, ever since Desiree was a baby Christian, she called me dad and Chelsea mom. And I had such a funny situation happen when my dad got a new number about a year ago. My dad texted me and he said, this is my new number, dad. And that was a tagline. I thought it said, this is my new number, dad. I wrote back, Desiree? I thought it was Desiree. And my dad writes back, David Novak. Like, just in case you're not sure who your dad is. And I said, oh, laugh out loud. There's this girl in my ministry that calls me dad and Chelsea mom. And I just thought this was so, I'm like, what was my dad thinking? Like, this is my new number, dad. And I'm like, Desiree? You know, my first thought was to think about my spiritual family. And to think about, oh, this must be Desiree because she calls me dad. And just that family we get to be part of. Now, Desiree's helped Chelsea and I so much through the second pregnancy and having a newborn baby. And, you know, we just go through things, and we need to have our own people that we go through things with and that we go through things with them with as well. Amen? That's going to help us to have the resilient faith we need. Who are your own people? Are they in the church? Or are they not in the church? Do you have your own people? Are you that for other people? Are you the own people for others in the church? You know, we've got to have partners in the church that help us get through things, but also partners in the church that we're having victories together. We're dreaming together. I love my partnerships with Matt and Mark and Charles and Kyrie and the other campus guys that we're trying to accomplish things for God together. Have victories for God together. We've got to have that as well. To get through the hard times, but also to go do great things for God. And so we could partner up to do things. If you feel like, man, I need to spring back in my evangelism, do it with somebody. You know, figure out, team up with someone. Hey, let's find someone to help become a Christian together. Grab a fellow brother or sister in your small group. Pray every day about it. You know, and then pick a day or week. Hey, when are you free? Monday nights. Me too. Let's find someone we can study the Bible with on Monday nights together. And then pray together every day. Talk to each other about, did you find someone yet? No. 2-3 weeks go by, you're out sharing, you're going sharing together, grocery store, whatever. And then you call and say, hey, I found this woman that wants to study. She's free on Monday nights. And you two can start studying the Bible with someone together. You know, we can help each other through hard times, and we can help each other accomplish dreams that we have for God's kingdom. All right. We've got to have our own people to make it through this stuff with. Let's have our own people. And lastly, a resilient faith is a faith that finishes stronger than it began. If your faith is resilient, then it gets compressed, but it bounces back. It gets coiled, but then it springs back into shape. We'll close out here. They're in the home. They report what happened. It says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Part of being one another and one another's people is praying together. And the first thing they do is not go be Debbie Downers to each other, but they say, let's go to God about this together. And they pray. And we'll jump down to the end of their prayer in verse 29. They address what's going on, and then says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They bounced back stronger. Their faith was like, look, we were out there doing great things. We took a hit. Now we'll go back and do good things, but not as great. No, they said, look, we're facing this stuff, but let's get back out there and let's pray that God does miracles through us in Jesus' name, just like they told us not to do anymore. And let's do something even greater for God's glory. A resilient faith finishes stronger than it started, even after the hits in between. They didn't pray for the threat to be weakened. They prayed that God would make them stronger through it. They prayed for God to stretch out his hands and do something awesome through them. And God answered powerfully. Wouldn't he want to answer this prayer? Of course he would. God shook them, and then they went out boldly. And so as we face challenges, God wants to shake us and make us stronger and then enable us to have even greater victories for him afterwards. You know, Peter and John looked to God, and rather than being broken by this incredibly difficult situation, they bounced back stronger. And this not only happened in Acts 4, but all throughout the New Testament. Multiple times, the church takes a hit, bounces back stronger. You know, they're arrested this time and told to stop. The next time, they're actually flogged. And then they get back out there publicly and house to house, day by day. They never stopped teaching. They're beaten. And then James is beheaded, and guess what? They kept going. And then we've got Paul, who is stoned, dragged out of the city, thought dead. Disciples gather around him, pick him back up, and he goes back into the city again.
Come on, Rob.
He took it and he bounced back stronger. You know, all throughout the New Testament, the disciples had a resilient faith. This is just the first hit, and the hits only got harder. But guess what? Their faith got harder as well, and the victories got even greater as it went on. The church flourished despite increasingly difficult persecution in the first century. They had a resilient faith, and they finished stronger than they began. You know, many of you have been around much longer than me in your discipleship and in the church and in your faith. Some of you have been through the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s. And your faith has seen victories that our younger generation is still just praying that we can see again. Incredible victories. Your faith has also beaten some incredible attempts from Satan to take you out. And I want to give it up for you that you're still here today. You've persevered and you're here today. Amen? A resilient faith finishes stronger than it began. And so my question is, what's next for you? What's next for us? Are we going to bounce back to something stronger and more glorifying to God than ever before? Or will our best days be behind us? In Revelation 2, Jesus tells the church in Ephesus, return to your first love. Repent and do the things you did at first. Jesus is saying, church, bounce back stronger. Be resilient. Finish stronger than you began. And so for us, after all that's happened over the years, if you recount the faith you had at first, have you bounced back stronger? Or are you still sitting in some bandages right now? Are there some things you did at first that you need to get back to doing again? You know, do you have the love you had at first? Think about when you were first baptized. The first year as a Christian, think about your love for God then. Think about your love for the church, your trust for the church. Think about your love for the mission and to see people become Christians. How does your faith compare right now? How does what you did then compare to what you do now? Is there some passion, some vision, some focus that you once had that you need to spring back to? Be rejuvenated and be refreshed back to? Do you still expect miracles? Do you still expect to find and save someone regularly? Now, do you still give sacrificially, generously, eagerly, because you want to see God do something great? Do you still trust God and do what's righteous, even when it's not what you want to do or when it doesn't make sense? You know, I'm almost 8 years spiritually. I haven't been through close to all that many of you have been through. And I already seen myself the need to repent and be and do who I was at first. You know, there's just a constant hit to our faith, but we've got to get refocused on the cross, refocus on the scriptures, and get back to where we were at first. That original love that we had for the cross and for what we became part of in Jesus. You know, I want my faith, my discipleship to prove resilient. I really hope that after 10, 20, 40, 50, 60 years, I can look back and I can see that my faith has been resilient. That I kept growing stronger and that I went out blazing, not fading, and that my best days are always before me. A resilient faith finishes stronger than it began. So where is your faith today? Think about this. Are your best days behind you, or are they going to be before you? And I want to encourage you to talk to someone about it. Help each other. And let's help one another bounce back stronger so that we as a church, so that you as a disciple, so we as the New Jersey region can have our best, most faithful, most fruitful days ahead of us and not behind us. Amen? Now in this life we will have trouble and we can be shaken by these things or we can let God do the shaking. Something meant to stop you could be what makes you all the more stronger if you have a resilient faith. As disciples of Jesus, when hard times hit, we're the ones who bounce back stronger because we're rooted in someone so much greater than this world. So I want to encourage you, church, myself, let's have a resilient faith. A faith that is deeply rooted in Jesus, rooted in God's power, and let's make sure that we are resilient so that our best days are ahead of us. All to the greater glory of God. Amen? Amen. Amen.